read. Our scripture is found in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 5 through 9b, and it will be read by Sister Dolores Tucker. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we encounter God's word, as we've heard it from the prophet Isaiah, I want us to focus for a moment on our theme for today, a fast for all seasons. A fast for all seasons. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm on a fast. After a long day of carrying out our responsibilities of work and family and duties around the house and feeding ourselves with the nutritious meals of the day, most of us are ready for bed. The time when we sleep and aren't eating is called a fast. That's why in the Western world, breakfast, or breaking our fast, is that time of day when we awaken from the fast of sleep during the night and take our first meal of the day. We're told that breaking a fast, is the most important meal of the day. They say that it replenishes low glucose levels, the body's primary energy source, after a night of fasting. We're told that breakfast boosts our metabolism for the day ahead, enhances our mental alertness and focus, and prevents people from becoming hangry. That irritable attitude that we get when we're both angry and hungry at the same time. But there's another kind of fast besides the one we take during the night of sleep. It's typically a fast that's done for spiritual reasons. It's often done as an act of contrition and sorrow before our God. It's an expression of remorse denying ourselves that which nourishes our bodies and spirits because we've done or not done something that we're supposed to do, something that dishonors ourselves and God. And while breakfast might be considered the most important meal of the day, God suggests that there is a fast, one that we never come off of and never seek to break. For God, it's a fast for all seasons. We are now into our third Sunday after celebrating the resurrection of our Christ. The season of Lent has ended and has been over now for 18 days. We've gotten past the idea of giving up anything to honor God. All of the cookies and cakes and pies and coffee and sugar and things we gave up denying ourselves are things of the past. We've broken our fast and now have refurbished our menu, returning back to our old sins of the flesh, indulging ourselves with those things we for 6 weeks considered abhorrent to us. Or at least we denied ourselves being reminded of what we'd given up every time a craving came up. But Isaiah has brought up fasting as a spiritual issue of justice, something we probably didn't consider when we entered into Lent. Isaiah has drawn attention to fasting from a different perspective, that instead of throwing a pity party for ourselves because we messed up or denying ourselves some indulgence as a way to honor God, Isaiah says, look again, hear God again. Answer God's question about your fast and how you do them. In the verses preceding our text, Isaiah warns that religious practice is worse than useless if it's not accompanied by true social justice. He suggests that praying for divine intervention in quarrels with others have selfish purposes and not sacred purposes. He points to our misunderstanding of fasting as we practice it, grieving and mourning, tearing our clothes as a sign of frustration with ourselves serves no real purpose. Denying ourselves as a sign of self-punishment doesn't address the issues of injustice in the world. And these words of Isaiah are addressed not to the poor, but they're addressed to the upper strata of our culture. Those who have bread to eat and a place to stay, whose wealth can allow them to buy their way out of prison rather than the hungry and homeless poor whose time in prison is typically because they can't afford adequate counsel. He suggests that our acts of self-denial be for the sake of others and not for our own sake, that our prayers seek the righteousness of God and not our own righteousness. When we have made that commitment in spirit, then God will respond in ways that affirm our relationship with God and with each other and answer when we call. We will know that God is present when we begin to fast for all seasons. Now, while we may have gotten past the ritualistic season of fasting, God suggests that as long as there are poor among us, the fasting season is perpetual. As Jesus reminds us, the poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. The poor are always going to be here. If the poor are always with us, then we are engaged in a fast for all seasons, and justice for those who are poor is always before us. You see, brothers and sisters, if we've heard the text, if we've listened to the words of Isaiah, God calls into question the form of fasting that we practice. Somebody say amen. See, it's not that we shouldn't be sorrowful or repentant when we sinned against God. It's just that God questions the value of punishing ourselves when others are living with the injustices heaped upon them by society and culture each and every day. There's a reason that the poor will always be with us, and it has nothing to do with the lack of resources. There's a reason that people are hungry, and it has nothing to do with the lack of available food. There are reasons that people are naked, and it has nothing to do with the fabric shortage or shortage of production in the clothing industry. There are reasons that people are homeless that have nothing to do with their unwillingness to have a home, but everything to do with the economic imbalance of resources that would allow everyone to have adequate shelter. There are reasons that our prisons are filled with more poor, and it's not because of that the wealthy don't commit crimes, but because their economic advantages allow them to use and manage the court system to their advantage and often to their freedom. So God questions how throwing a pity party for ourselves helps those who live in painful and pitiful conditions every day. It's why God asks the question, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and unite the cord, untie the cords of the yoke, and to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. God's desire is for us to help the pitiful, not to become pitiful. God's desire for us is to meet God among those who are poor and homeless, naked and imprisoned, doing what we can to alleviate the conditions that cause them to be in their condition. God challenges us to seek ways to do justice, to find ways to provide adequate shelter for the homeless, and to comfort those who have been unjustly imprisoned, to clothe those who are naked, and to seek reconciliation with our own brothers and sisters. That's the kind of fast God calls us to. Not throwing pity parties for ourselves. And so God calls into question the form of fasting we practice. And God does it because God considers our fasting a justice issue. God questions what we do traditionally because what we traditionally do seems to be a far cry from what God considers a fast and wants to get done. God considers our fasting as something not that we give up, but as something that we give in service to our God. I have to believe that God brings up injustice as a primary issue of the poor. I believe that God is calling those of us who are God's children, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to work to feed those who simply hunger and thirst. I believe that God is calling on those of us who have found freedom in Jesus Christ to help those who are bound by the chains of poverty, even if it means we have to face the anger of the rich to benefit the poverty of the poor. I believe God is calling us to set free those who are tied to an economic system of impoverishment and connect them to an economic system of empowerment so that they might be free. I believe that God is calling on us to question how a city and state can find $40 billion to house a professional football team, but can't find $4 million to house the homeless in our community. Fasting is a justice issue to our God when we can't get away from it. We can't get away from it because the poor will always be with us. There will always be a Lazarus lying at the gate of the rich and powerful. And God is challenging us to take a fast from ignoring those Lazaruses and other poor that inundate our society and take a godly and spiritual approach to handling it. You see, friends, when justice becomes our method of fasting in agreement with God's understanding of fasting, the season of fasting will not end. It will happen as long as there are poor people who are homeless. It will happen as long as there are people who are hungry. It will happen as long as people are without adequate clothing and people falsely and wrongly imprisoned, and as long as we continue to reject our own brothers and sisters instead of seeking reconciliation. It's not a fast relegated to a specific time of year, but to a specific condition of injustice in our world that happens all year long. It's not a fast designated to the observation of High and Holy Week, but a fast that is designated to last each and every week. It's not a fast that's focused on our personal conditions of separation from God, but a fast that's focused on injustice and how it impacts the least of God's children. Maybe that's why our Supreme Justice Organizer and Justice Coordinator, Jesus the Christ, said these words: "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Then the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Whatever you did to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick, go to the prison, whatever you did to shelter the homeless, you did for me. And so what God considers a fast is actually a ministry of justice and service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not about us. And yes, it is true that we may have the poor with us always. But it's also true that the reason we have the poor is because there will always be wealthy people working to keep the poor poor while seeking to increase their wealth. Oxfam, a global organization that fights to end inequality and poverty in the world, has made their report. They tell us that nearly half of the world lives in poverty, while a select few continue to gain extreme wealth and power. Listen to this. The amount of wealth owned by the poorest half of the world is less than the amount owned by just 12 richest billionaires. 12 of the richest billionaires own more than half of the world's population. And the United States of America has the highest degree of inequality between the rich and the poor, and greater disparities than any other major developed nation. This extreme concentration of wealth isn't just making life less affordable for most of us, it's creating harmful divisions. Billionaires, corporations, and politicians are taking away people's basic ability to make choices about their futures and suppressing dissenting voices. And this condition leads to situations of injustice that God is calling us to fast for. It's not just about wealth and poverty. Yet it's all about wealth and poverty and how justice is distorted and perverted by those who have the financial ability to subvert the truth and true justice for the least of these Christ brothers and sisters. And so our church has taken steps to unite with a community organization called Churches United for Justice, a grassroots coalition of Christian congregations in Wyandotte County working together to bring justice, God's justice, to our communities. We organize by people power and take strategic action to influence policy and hold public officials accountable for those policies. And because of our work, we are scheduled to have a Nehemiah Action Assembly next Monday night. And that will be Monday night, April the 27th, 2026, from 6 to 7 o'clock p.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church, 1086 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas. Admission is free, but tickets are required. And if you'd like a ticket, there are people here who can give you one. You see, brothers and sisters, we will be addressing the issues of homelessness and affordable housing and property taxes. And while we have members of our congregation as active members of the organization, power concedes nothing without a demand. And right now I'm going to ask these people, if you're present, to stand. Delois Tucker and Arthur Tucker, Edward Tucker, Abuena King, and myself. We are all members of Churches United for Justice, and we're working to take an all-season fast for God in this community. But again, power concedes to the demands of a lot of people. And so the only persons missing, if you're not standing, will be you. And we're asking you, as members of our congregation, to show up next Monday night at St. Patrick's Church so that you can stand with one of those voices who speaks for God against injustice in this community. You may be seated now. So come and join with your church and the members of Churches United for Justice as we continue to actively participate in God's fast for all seasons. Join us as we approach the powers that be to address the issues of injustice that are facing our community. Lift up your voice with those of the poor and the disenfranchised as we create a climate and community of God's justice in Wyandotte County. Join with God's idea of a fast as we seek ways to provide shelter for the homeless and address the economic issues of injustice for the aging in our community. It's not a fast as we would call it. It's a fast as God would call it. And it's not a fast for one season. It's a spiritual fast against injustice for all seasons. I'm inviting you to come. God is calling you to come and join in a righteous fast. It's a fast for all seasons, and it won't stop next week. And when we stand for God, when we answer God's call, when we join God in this fast for all seasons, when we have undertaken God's challenge to fast for injustice, to highlight the hunger and poverty in our midst, to address the issues of homelessness in our community, when we have clothed the naked and addressed the economic inequality that causes poverty, hunger, and homelessness, then according to Scripture, our light will break through, shining as a bright light of hope in our community. When we engage in this fast for all seasons, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will have fed the hungry and will be seen by our God. When we join in God's fast for all seasons, the glory of the Lord will have our backs, and we can call upon the Lord and the Lord will answer. We can cry out to our God for help, and our God will say, "Here am I." When we have actively engaged in God's fast for all seasons, maybe then our God will say to us without shame or embarrassment, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You fasted not for one season, but you fasted for all seasons. And my name, God's name, was glorified." And this is the word of God today for the people of God today. Amen.